You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
My monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Rack's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said,
whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool, Drac's a part of the band, and my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them what it said.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Scabies and gentlemen, boils and ghouls, fiends from beyond the binary, welcome back to another very special October spooktacular edition of the Toilet of Hell radio show. This is it. We're closing it here. By the time this airs, it's going to be Halloween Eve, or Halloween Eve Eve. What is it going to be, Jordan?
Well, it depends on where you're from, because the night before Halloween is actually different things in different parts of the country. Like, I know in some places it's Devil's Night.
According to the documentary The Crow.
And where I grew up, it was Mischief Night. Oh. And I think, you know, wherever else you're from, it's some people it's just the night before Halloween.
I didn't do the cool intro we've been doing for you. I'm joined by my co-host, the 365th this day of horror, the golden boy, Jordan.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have a spooky time, don't you know?
All right, that's fucked up. You can't treat our guests this way, because we are joined by someone very special today. Longtime friend of the show. You've actually heard her voice on a couple of episodes, though we were careful not to give her proper credit. From Drunk in a Graveyard, we have Robin. Robin, how you doing?
Oh, I'm just doing great. Just dandy up here in Canada.
I don't know that we've ever actually had a Canuck on this show. Is that right, Jordan? Like that's right.
Technically, I'm half Canadian.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I wouldn't have done this show.
Well, I've done enough episodes where I feel comfortable enough telling you that.
I guess I'm stuck in it now. Because generally when we have somebody on from somewhere that's not here, or even that is here but is slightly regionally different, I do a bad take on their accent.
Lay it on me, man.
Hey, we're going to go to Orton's, get some Molson's. This one's a jelly.
So right? Do you guys, like, not have Tim Hortons down there? Is that the truth?
We do.
We do?
At least in the Northeast, we do, yeah.
Okay. I went to Vancouver for a dumb work assignment last year, and I was told you gotta go to Timmy's, and I went to Timmy's, and I was like, it's fucking coffee and a donut.
It's like Dunkin' Donuts. They have munchkins, but they call them Tim Holes.
Timmy Holes. That's one of my favorite actors.
Timbits. Timbits is what they're called.
We're calling them Tim Holes from now on.
It's a Tim Hole. It's real weird. Yeah, see, I feel like Tim Hortons like really isn't that great, and everyone is just like, oh, that's like super, super Canadian. It's like, yeah, kind of crappy coffee. That said, though, if you want to see forever, an extra large black Tim Hortons coffee, it'll get you there.
Isn't Tim Hortons owned by like Burger King or McDonald's or
yeah.
one of those?
Yeah.
Is that how you say yeah in Canada?
Yeah, I don't know.
Delightful.
Just a precious gift from Jesus.
I love it.
None of you are free of sin.
No, when you say Jesus, you mean Wayne Gretzky, right?
Yeah, of course.
You guys, you got a new king in Canada, right? Is that what happened?
He's not new. It's the same guy. It's Prime Minister Disney Prince.
Oh, see, I saw some pictures of him. It looked like a different guy. He had a much darker skin tone.
Oh, yes, those pictures. Oh, it's all coming back to me now. The Peste Noir of Canada, you mean?
Oh, fuck.
Yikes.
No, I just it's really hard for me to like feel superior to Canada in any way when you guys just generally have your shit more together than us. You have like a basic social democracy and like healthcare, so I gotta take it where I can get it. Like, at least our president doesn't have there's probably pictures of him somewhere in blackface, isn't there?
Well, he kind of is wearing like orange face all the time, so
yeah, that's Italian erasure.
I like every time I look at Donald Trump, I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I think that, like, you know, back in like 2012 when the Mayan calendar ended, like we split dimensions and we're in the worst dimension.
Yeah, no, I've certainly felt like I've been in hell ever since. I think that's
checks out. Like the Bernstein Bears dimension. We're in like the worst timeline.
I think someone went back in time and changed something. Like, they sat on a bug, and that's it. We're completely changed from what we were supposed to be.
Now, that's an interesting thought, that we did discover time travel, and in the process have just really, really made a muck of things in the timeline that we can see anyway.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It's better than the reality of a whole bunch of racists and idiots voting for a big, dumb man, baby.
Man, like, our election just happened, and the way that our election works in Canada is really dumb. Like, yours is kind of dumb, too, but our, yours we have, like, is, a local
yours is dumb, but much quicker.
Yes, we don't campaign for, like, years and years. We don't talk about it. We just kind of do it. But you don't, like, vote for, I'm not sure how it works in the States, but you don't vote when you're voting for, like, the prime minister or, like, the leader. You vote for, like, a local representative. And we had a local representative for the People's Party of Canada that looked like he was wearing a Buster Scruggs cosplay. And it fucking sent me. Like, just, I was like, please don't vote for this guy. Don't.
That's good. I love the Canadian cowboys. It's good. No, in a lot of ways, like, certain parts of Canada, like, they mirror the dumb shit that Texas does. So I appreciate that.
Like Alberta?
That's exactly it.
You guys said it, not me.
Yeah. Wait, which part of Canada are you in?
I'm from, like, hippie land. I'm from British Columbia, about, like, 3 hours away from Vancouver.
Gotcha. Okay. So that's, like, the only frame of reference that I have for Canada, so that's great for me. It's, like, Seattle plus.
Vancouver is, like, better than Seattle, though.
In what way?
When I last went to Seattle, I went to PAX, the video game convention, in 2014, and we had such terrible service across the board in Seattle, like everywhere we went. We also had a cab driver try to abduct us, so maybe that's where my frame of reference for Seattle is. It's not great. Everyone was super rude.
Yeah, I did have that experience in Seattle. I went alone for a work thing, and I almost got in a fight at a Mariners game. No, and I'm not like an aggressive person. This is like, it's just they're rude people there. Whereas on the contrary, I walked into a bar in Vancouver to use the bathroom in the middle of the day and ended up drinking all night with 5 50-year-old men that like have lived in Vancouver forever.
That's Vancouver for you. There's neat shit that happens in Vancouver, but it's I live in a small town. I go to Vancouver for like shows and things like that, but Vancouver's like, it's very, it becomes a lot. After a while, you're like, I just want to be in the woods.
Well, it's close. It's a Cascadia adjacent, I guess. For this particular episode, though, because this is airing the spookiest time of the year, and I've almost certainly played the Monster Mash on this podcast by now. It's a thing. I like that song. I like playing it for our Halloween episodes. I figure that maybe. Perhaps we could focus our energies on your wheelhouse, Robin, and I guess yours as well, Jordan, and less so mine. Let's talk about the horror of cinema.
Instead of the horror of politics or the horror of age, just cinema.
Yeah.
The horror of everyday living.
Well, yeah. I mean, everyday living is awful and terrifying enough, but so rarely do you see Nazi Draculas in well, if you don't count the Koch brothers, I don't know. It's, fuck. It's the Koch brothers. I fucked that up. I apologize to everybody listening.
I apologize to you, you dead fuck.
There's still a couple of them that are living.
They'll die, too.
Yeah, hopefully. Except for Wyatt, we have to protect the fail kid that makes Hawaiian shirts. I forgot where I was going with this. I've been making all of our guests every episode this month watch a horror movie and then join us so that we can discuss it. Now, before I make the big reveal of what we put on here, I'd just like to review and say that we started this one off with Audition, which is extremely fucking dark, extremely well done exploration of gender dynamics and trauma and bodily horror. We moved on to In the Mouth of Madness, which is, of course, a tribute to Lovecraft done by everyone's favorite thing, John Carpenter. We watched Your Next, kind of a feminist send-up of the home invasion genre. Did we watch something else, Jordan?
Well, for the bonus episode, we watched two movies.
We sure did. Those are a little bit more on par with what we're about to dive into right here. Because horror is a beautiful kaleidoscope of so many different things, we decided to delve into an action/comedy/horror/PlayStation 1 full motion video. We watched Astron 6's Manborg.
I feel like that is like most representative of not only the Drunk in a Graveyard podcast and website that I run, but also like Canada in general.
So, go ahead and give us some background here on why you chose Manborg for your selection here. Is it mostly national pride?
Yeah, it's national pride for sure. In seriousness, though, Astron 6 was a Canadian filmmaking group. They have disbanded. Their last short film was Chow Boys that came out last year or this year.
I think it's 2018.
Yeah.
So I should, and I probably mentioned it on the show before because I, you know, we've done 200 and so many episodes and there are only so many things I can say about things that I like, but I really, really like Astron 6's movie Father's Day. It's one of...
With the Fuckman.
Yeah, with the Fuckman. It's one of two Blu-rays that I own. I saw the Austin premiere. Lloyd Kaufman was doing a Troma double feature here in Austin.
Lloyd Kaufman.
He tried to sell me some shit out of the back of his car.
Like, for real, for real?
For real, for real.
I'm not surprised, like, even in the slightest.
Like, movies or, like, slabs of meat?
He said that he had some, like... some like limited edition merch and stuff like that. That guy is, you know, he's a self-professed, you know, salesman. He's kind of a grifter par excellence. So, you know, yeah, you know what to get with that guy. But
just selling mackerel out of the back of his car.
Still warm.
So I love the shit out of Father's Day. I think that's just a wonderful movie. I made a bunch of my real life friends come over to my movie, come over to my house one day to watch that movie, and they all laughed so mad at me. They fucking hated that movie, and I didn't get it. Members of Astron 6 after, well, it wasn't quite after the disbanding, but two of the five directors of the Astron 6. Went on to make a film that we've talked about on the show that I also love called The Void.
Well, The Void is so good.
Jordan, did you like The Void?
I like things about it.
Uh-oh.
We have disagreements.
But this is what we do on the show. Joe loves something, and then I have to be like the cold, sobering voice that goes, it was okay.
It's depression, Jordan.
It's not depression.
I just thought it was neat.
You'll know when it's depression.
Fun fact about The Void, my voice was actually used in it.
No way. Were you one of the contributors to the, was it GoFundMe or Kickstarter?
I think it was Kickstarter, but yes, I was. And then I sent in my chanting voice. I got really drunk one night and I started reading from, you know, the Avon copy of the Necronomicon, the most cursed version of it. And, sent in myself chanting, and then it got looped and looped, and it was used in one of the early release trailers, and then it was in the film.
Tight. Our friend Kit that does the Appendix podcast, he contributed as well, and they gave him a little chunk of the monster.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
This is my monster chunk. Come and gaze upon it.
I wonder if you, like, put it in a shadow box, or if it's just sitting on his dresser or something.
just in his sock drawer.
Yeah. Well, next time Kit comes on, we'll ask him about that. These are to be honest, those are the only reference points that I have for Astron 6, and I love them so much that, like, I was kind of like, why didn't I seek out the other movies? Why haven't I watched them? So we remedied that. I watched it last night. I think, Jordan, you watched it yesterday as well, with
yep.
Manborg, which is available on Amazon Prime in the States right now. It's also streaming on YouTube, perhaps questionably legally.
Yes. Did when you watched it, did it come with the like the short film, like BioCop afterwards, or like the trailer for it?
It didn't, and I think that's because if you were to rent the movie on YouTube, it's 1 hour and 11 minutes long. If you watch the free thing, it's 1 hour and 2 minutes long.
Okay, because, like, BioCop, the trailer for that is, like, the best.
We apparently fucked up, Jordan. We missed BioCop.
You done fucked up. You done goofed, boys.
You know, I'm going to have to just live with myself for the rest of my life not having seen it.
It's definitely, like, available on YouTube, like, just a separate thing.
All right, gone forever.
They're just perfect. They're just perfect. I love them.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and set this up. What's your favorite thing about Manborg? What is the thing that compels you so?
I think with Manborg, knowing some of like the background of it, that it was made by a group of friends who like the shitty 1980s, like VHS kind of crappy, like action sci-fi, you know, like video gamey kind of films. They made the whole film for $1,000 and with a lot of items from a closing down Zellers. So Zellers was this Canadian chain store that was terrible. It was like a Canadian department store, and it had awful restaurant in it that people would hang out in, and it closed, unfortunately. So when the Zellers closed back in the day, Manborg was made with many items from a closing Zellers, like a lot of his bike lights that stopped functioning partway through the movie.
That kicks total ass. Yeah, After I watched the movie, I read some of the history of it, and yeah, just knowing that it was made by a handful of guys, like several of these people doing double, triple, quadruple duty between acting, writing, doing the score, creating special effects, and having done it all for, as you said, $1,000, it makes it a lot more impressive when you have that all in mind. There is a definite vibe that it was made with literal trash.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, and it just, I think that it really cements like what Astron 6 does. It's just that like simultaneous send up and also lampooning of like those 1980s, like the action movies that you wanted to rent on VHS tape when you were a kid and your mom took you to the video store to entertain you because she wanted you to go away.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that for me, like the shitty family owned video store in town that had Night of the Demons 2 poster up in the place for 10 years. I finally got to see that movie when I was like 30, and it was worth it. But you covet those things. You look at the artwork, you're like, oh fuck, I can't wait until my mom's not looking and I can see that one.
See, my mom was just like, ugh, just watch whatever, I don't give a shit. You don't have any friends, so your life is already kind of trash, so let's just rent you 5 of these movies that surely won't disturb you at all.
Yeah, my mom was like, you don't have any friends, deal with it. Find power in the Lord.
In the Lort.
Yeah, the Lort. Manborg, pretty short watch here. As we mentioned, it's an hour long. So much happens in 1 hour that it really makes the runtime jam-packed. Is it okay with you if I read the opening scroll to give everybody the storyline that we come into?
Yes, please do.
Earth, the legacy of the Hell Wars. When mankind fought the armies of Hell, and Hell won. With every passing hour, another nation crumbles to the technological might of this unholy menace and their monstrous leader, Count Draculon. As the oceans fill with the blood of billions, a desperate few bravely hold their ground, defiantly refusing to abandon all hope. So yeah, that's what you lead into.
And then power metal just kicks in.
The opening shot, once you get past the scrawl, is a soldier picking up a dandelion, which lets you know that even in the bloodthirsty heart of war, there is still beauty in the universe.
Oh my god.
The most immediate thing that I noticed within this opening scene is how fucking strange this is all shot. It's very disconcerting in a way that, like, as I mentioned before, it reminded me a lot of like the cutscenes in the original Command and Conquer video game.
Oh, 100%. That's a completely fair comparison.
How would you describe this kind of filmmaking, this kind of visual effect that they have going on?
It's almost like that, like, it reminds me of, like, the fucking Mortal Kombat game.
Oh, like, fuck, I'm trying to think, it was one of the spinoffs that had all of the clips in between, like, Sub-Zero Mythologies one.
Yes.
That was tight. That was a bad game, but I liked it a lot.
We all like Mortal Kombat. No, that's just what it reminds me of. I mean, it also kind of reminds me of like those weird, like kind of cartoony action shows that I watched as a kid. I'm not sure if you guys had it, but it was like called like Beast Wars in Canada.
Yeah, we had it.
Okay. So it kind of reminds me of that weirdly.
So in addition to, you know, the this very, you know, this intentionally strange actions of our actors and, you know, kind of off-kilter appearances as well. These are not exactly, you know, Hollywood types. We have the, I guess the most important thing for this movie for me, which is stop-motion action figures that are the monsters that we see. Somebody put a whole lot of love and a whole lot of Sculpey on little Terminator toys to make them monstrous little Nazi devil men.
I think that would be Stephen Kostansky who did that.
Which fellow was that of the Astron 6?
He's like the director guy because okay. he directed, produced and partly wrote Manborg. And I believe Stephen Kostansky went on to do Leprechaun, like the new one.
Holy shit. Yeah, he was a, prosthetic artist on, Leprechaun Returns, prosthetic artist on Star Trek Discovery. He was a key artist and technician in It, the most recent one.
Yeah.
And fucking A. You have Kostansky to thank for being a key artist / technician on... a special makeup artist on Suicide Squad.
Okay, so, like, which one? Like the one with, you know, Jared Leto?
That's the one.
So I, like, unironically love that movie.
I haven't seen it. That's mostly just... I haven't seen like any of the is that Marvel or is that DC?
DC.
It's DC. Her name's Katana. She's got my back. I'd advise not getting killed by her. Her sword traps the souls of its enemies. I fucking love that movie. It is so terrible. Well, God damn it.
There's
Joel Kinnaman though. Ooh, deadly sexy.
Which one is that guy?
He plays like generic soldier guy.
Okay, cool.
It was Jack Flag.
There you go. That's the one.
Jack Flag.
That sounds like a porn star name.
Yeah, it sounds like a
patriotic. I'd watch it.
It sounds like a patriotic jack-off artist. that's so funny.
Making
like,
it for the country, boys.
So it's fun to think that the guy that directed Manborg also might have scrawled damage on Jared Leto's head.
Oh my god. Jared Leto was in that movie for like 5 fucking minutes, and like it was terrible for all 5 of the minutes.
No, I didn't see the movie, but I read with rapt attention how mad he was that all of his content got cut after making such a big deal out of going method or whatever his concept of method is for acting.
Sending used condoms to his co-actors and like dead rats because movies.
Twisted.
Yeah, he just looked up like what Dead did to get into Mayhem and then was just like, I'll do that.
I haven't
seen... You know, that old chestnut?
Yeah. I haven't seen Joker either, but it does make me happy that that Joaquin Phoenix has just completely stolen the sunshine out of Jared Leto's life.
Okay, so what's interesting about like Joaquin Phoenix is that he's also Jesus in that Mary Magdalene movie.
Wait, there's a Mary Magdalene movie?
Yes, and it screened on the same night as our Rocky Horror Picture Show screening. So it was like one theater had like religious movie. And religious people seeing said movie, and then the other screening was, you know, Rocky Horror Picture Show and people in drag. It was great.
I'm glad that we could. So it's like a straight face religious tale, or is it like, I don't know. Wow. Okay. I didn't know they
and
were.
He's Jesus. Oh. He's Jeebus.
I thought, man, I bet that Jim Caviezel was pissed about that.
I haven't seen Joker either. I keep having like people I know be like, oh my God, it's so good. And then I'm like, was it though? I haven't seen it, though.
I feel like it's been entirely spoiled for me, so I don't know. I'll see it when it's free, I guess, now. You seen it yet, Jordo?
I have less than zero interest.
Damn.
Savage.
So, what I was saying here is Stephen Kostanski, he does things and things that you've seen. That's very weird and cool, I guess, in the context of this movie that we're watching. It's just fun to me that, like, these guys have kind of made these movies basically on a budget of less than it costs to put up your shitty black metal album on Bandcamp that nobody will listen to. It's kind of got this huge devoted following, and some of these guys have made real film careers based off of it.
Totally. And I think that is, like, so representative of Astron 6. Like, there's just such, like, obvious love in this. You can always tell when you're watching a movie, like, if everyone's just like, oh, fuck this. Like, I guess I'll read my lines. With this, like, this was clearly a group of people having a lot of fun, and that is very... it's very not to sound weird, but it's very Canadian to me. Like, just like, sometimes there's not much to do up here, so you gotta go to the closing down Zellers and then decide to make a weird movie with your friends.
So you're likely much more in tune with the history of Trailer Park Boys than I am, but
it's... You mean the documentary of Canada known as Trailer Park Boys?
But I guess I kind of get a similar vibe off of especially earlier seasons of Trailer Park Boys.
Yes. Trailer Park, well, I mean, later seasons, everything kind of, like, goes to shit. So apparently those guys are not the easiest people to work with, according to the people who've, like, quit the show.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, they're the A-list celebs of Canada now. I'm sure that they have demands for, like, a whole roasted pig before they'll shoot a scene,
Yeah, like, our like, celebrities in Canada goes that, like, moose that someone shot a video of eating pumpkins... the Trailer Park Boys, Justin Trudeau, I think, and then, like, all the hockey people.
Yeah, there was that, the guy from The Tragically Hip that did a video with the Trailer Park Boys, but he sadly died a year or two ago.
Gord Downie.
Gord Downie.
R.I.P. in peace. Every time I hear Bob Cajun on the radio, just, it's okay, I'll just cry in my car, it's fine. Thanks, radio.
You also have Our Lady Peace.
We have them. Yes, stop finding us. We've
Matthew Good
for...
Band.
We also have Nickelback.
Nickelback, a Prozac.
Skinny Puppy. They're actually worth something.
Bryan Adams.
We've apologized for Bryan Adams on several occasions.
Cryptopsy.
I fucking played a Bryan Adams song on this show like a couple weeks ago.
Was it Summer of '69?
No, it was the one that he did with Rod Stewart and Sting.
Oh boy.
I don't know what prompted that. We were on one.
If you want to ruin someone's life, tell them that the Summer of '69 is not about the year.
Yeah, it's just like he was making a sex joke.
I guess.
It's the summer of chowing down. Gross. I forgot where we were with this movie. Robin, take us back to the action here.
Okay, so we're talking about Manboard. Precious Gift, a documentary about Canada, clearly made by people who actually, love and respect and have silliness about, like 1980s, like all of that stuff that we liked when we were kids. Like the violent shows that then, like, went on to try to sell us toys a la Aliens.
Yeah, all of these hard R-rated movies that I had action figures for inexplicably.
Yes. Like, why? You're like, whatever, that's fine, I'm a little kid, I'll get this, like, little alien that has wings, I suppose. So I think that is what attracts people to Astron 6, and this was, like, their first sort of kind of kick at the can for a lot of, like, the stuff that they did. But the tone of it goes on and connects through all of the rest of their films, really. It's just got such a unique voice behind it, and I think that's why I personally love it so much. Yeah, getting to know those guys too, like, they're just great guys.
Among the many voices we have here is Ludwig Lee playing Number One Man, who has somebody else's voice piped in for him.
Yeah, it's dubbed.
It's our character, which is essentially Liu Kang. Let's not even get it twisted. He's dressed like Liu Kang on purpose, and it's somebody else is dubbed over him for reasons that are just, why not?
Well, I think it's supposed to be like that, like, funny aspect of it, because you haven't seen the editor, but we were talking about it. So in the editor, they have like that weird like overdubbing to give you that like kind of stilted look that a lot of like Italian giallo films have, where it looks wrong.
Yeah, you were telling me about giallo, and I think I got confused with Vincent Gallo.
We all make that mistake. It's fine.
Same difference. We have Matthew Kennedy playing the aforementioned Manborg. He's fighting the war against hell, in all caps. His brother / his commanding officer gets gunned down in front of him.
Hey, bro, it's me, your bro.
And shortly after, he is too gotted up by Count Draculon. But not before.
Played by Adam Brooks.
Yes, he does double duty in this one. He's also Dr. Scorpius, who takes Matthew Kennedy aside and makes him into a pretty shitty RoboCop. I just love that Manborg is just wearing junk.
It's like bike lights, and like half of it stops working partway through the film, and like he's just got like what looks to be like snowboard gloves that have like some circuits glued on them. It looks like somebody's drunk mother was like, "I'll make you a Halloween costume."
Absolutely. Most of Matthew Kennedy's dialogue in this movie consists of "I am man." Borg.
No. You did that wrong. It's like, "I am man Borg." There's like a question mark on the end of it.
Man Borg escapes from the lab where he encounters number one man, the aforementioned Ludwig Lee / Mortal Kombat character. They're on the mean streets of, I think this is Manitoba. Where is this?
I think it's Manitoba, Ontario. It's one of those.
Where they encounter some of these Nazi demons, just generally, you know, wrecking havoc. Number one man advises Manborg to, you know, work with him so they can escape. He doesn't listen. Manborg does manage to murk one of the Nazi demons before getting them thrown into a jail cell with our other cast of characters. I love this setting for their jail cells because it looks kind of like, I don't know, like an abandoned game show set with CGI or rather After Effects lasers for jail cell bars.
Yes, it's so fucking funny.
I didn't notice it until about halfway through, but another one of the major settings. The office for the Baron. In the background, the tubes are actually lava lamps.
Oh, yes.
Jordan, what was your favorite effect here?
I actually liked, I'm forgetting her name. We haven't gotten to them yet. What was the woman with the blue hair?
Nina.
I liked when she was fighting and her like knife throwing that like looked like it was out of Street Fighter.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
She would say like, "Nice one, Mina."
Yeah, like that. That was actually funny.
She had some anime speed lines in there.
Yeah, totally. Like it reminded me of like Ranma one half kind of, or Ranma half, whatever that anime is. You know, the kind of like sexually perverted one that everyone, you know, watched when they were a kid.
I'm familiar with this one just because it's one of those things I found out about later in life, and I was like, this was a big phenomenon. A guy that gets splashed with water and turns into a lady, and mischief abounds, I guess.
Yes. It was all those, like, all those animes that, like, were on VHS, like Project Aiko and, like, Ranma One Half or, like, Mermaid Scar. It's, like, very troubling topics that were, like, here, you're 12, watch this.
Seems problematic, TBH.
Yeah, oh yeah, that does not age well, I'm telling you.
we also meet Mina's brother, Justice, who is by far my favorite character, hands down. Justice, played by Connor Sweeney, who, if you've seen Father's Day, you'll know as Twink.
Connor Sweeney with his gorgeous weenie.
the rent boy in Father's Day. He's instead a brash, again, Street Fighter-esque character who is inexplicably Australian and...
Australian, quote, italicized, underscore.
He's just a lot of fun. He has a great stylized mullet. He dances for no reason. He's brash. He has guns that pop out of his hands at certain points.
he's like Billy Idol.
He is. I didn't make that connection, but that makes sense. Billy Idol's Australian too, right?
English. Is he?
Oh. That,
there you go.
Fuck. All right. They're all the same to me. They're all the same.
I love how his Australian accent just stops after about 15 minutes.
Yeah, and Mina has an Australian accent, I think, for about 10 seconds, perhaps, before, like, forgetting that she was supposed to do that. And again, these are definitely intentional decisions. It's just, it's very, I don't know, the entire vibe of the movie is kind of, let's just go with it, bro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good enough, I think, is the vibe of the movie.
What exactly starts happening here when everybody meets in a cage and they start learning who they are? Can you take us from there? What leads us through the action?
Well, they're pitted against each other, against monsters in like a kind of like a Thunderdome situation.
Yes, the Thunderdome, very much like the Thunderdome in Idiocracy. I think it was. Also, extremely low budget. The crowd was clearly, like, just computer doubled.
Oh, yeah. Computer tripled and very terrible looking. It was kind of like a super busted version of the Hunger Games.
Yes. And I don't know exactly how the dynamics of the Hell Denizens work, but I guess when they get... off work with doing hell demon things, they get to go watch the games. Is that what you're gathering?
I guess it's like, I just got off work doing demon stuff, well, time to go do other demon stuff.
I'm trying to put together some world building in a movie that is intentionally vague.
Well, I guess you need to send, like, relieve some tension somehow. Like, I mean, you can't just, like, be skewering people in the Hell Wars all day long. You have to, like, have some recreation in there.
What is the economy of the Hell World based on?
Bitcoin.
No, that's... goddamn. All right.
The U.S. dollar?
That's more on the nose, but yes. goddamn it. Jordan, you had thoughts on this movie. Do you want to share some with us?
Lay it on us.
So do you know the people who made this, or you just like what they do?
No, like, we're pals with them.
Okay, well then, it was wonderful.
No,
they did a really great job.
Don't pull any punches. We're all adults here. We can criticize the things.
I just think I'm not the right audience for this type of movie.
Well, and that's fair.
You know, this is a movie for, like, a group of rowdy friends and drinks and other sorts of supplements to, like, get rowdy to and laugh at and have fun. This isn't the type of movie you watch on a laptop when you're laying in bed stone sober. you know, you can definitely tell that this was a movie that they made for fun, and I think that's important to know going in. I didn't know that initially when I started watching it. And I believe the first message I sent to Dre was, is this supposed to be a comedy? Which was a genuine question because, you know, it wasn't exactly clear right away. But, you know, there's some funny things about it. And, you know, I think it's a movie for people that want to have fun and don't really mind watching, like, bad special effects and kind of jokes that don't always land. I kind of compared it to an early Kung Fury.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think Kung Fury was, like, ripping this in a big way.
Especially with the like light scooter movement, I think that they definitely ripped that off of this movie.
And again, with Kung Fury, it's like it's a nice idea, but for me, it didn't kind of like land all the punches that it wanted to, and it was just kind of there.
Well, let's ask the real question: how do you feel about Kung Pao?
Funny.
Underappreciated classic.
Underappreciated. Isn't there supposed to be a sequel?
Like, I saw Kung Pao like when I was in middle school. I think it's a little late for that now, right?
It's never a little late. Come on.
Hopefully. I don't know if those jokes will land as well as they did back then. I think that could be a little problematic in the current context.
Yeah. Well, I mean, nothing ever does.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed watching Manborg, I guess because it gave me a fuller picture of, like, the origins of what these guys, like, started out with. Because, as I mentioned, I fucking love The Void. I think Father's Day is a late-era trauma classic. Like, I don't have enough good things to say about it. So this was kind of like the early working stages of what they ended up doing in later years. It is very messy. Again, I don't remember the plot of most of the movie, but I really enjoy watching all of these stop motion effects and seeing the action figures blow up, and especially enjoy Twink or Justice. Sorry,
Connor Sweeney and his magic weenie. He's someone's father now.
Oh, that's gonna be fun. I can't wait for his kid to be old enough to check out these movies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, even other Astron 6 works, like The Editor, I keep kind of coming back to that, but that I think that one is, like, my favorite, just because it's just that, like, send-up of the giallo film genre, and it's just so wild to me. Like, it's so fucking funny, like, some of the little pieces that you kind of, like, you blink and you'll miss them, like, just little lines where, like, Adam Brooks's character comes out onto a balcony and there's a kitty cat on the balcony and he's like, oh look, a furry little man, are you out here thinking of ending your life as well? Like, and it's just so fucking stupid. And if you're like, I feel like you would appreciate it even if you're not a fan of giallo films, because the stuff that is like mocking giallo films, like constantly wearing a helmet or like black gloves or like sloppy rain sex or whatever, if you don't get it, you just see it on like the surface level. It's like a Simpsons episode where you don't understand like the second level, like when you're a kid and you watch like Simpsons and they make like adult jokes.
Yeah, well, with the Simpsons also, like, those writers were fairly up in age, so they're making references to movies made in like the 40s and 50s that I still haven't seen.
Yeah,
I bought Bill Oakley's book the other day. I still haven't cracked that one open yet, but man, I'm looking forward to hearing about the early days of those fellas. We need to discuss something though, because you know a little bit about these whole movies things. Give us some background. What's your deal? What's your deal, Robin?
What's my deal?
Yeah.
I started drunkinagraveyard.com, which is a horror and heavy metal, dark lifestyle-y blog. It turned into a podcast almost 3 years ago. We do a radio show, which you can check out Wednesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on thex.ca. We also host and put on horror screenings in the town that we live in.
That's a lot. Seems like a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I'm super lazy. I don't even write anymore for the site that I started. I just do this podcast only.
See, I don't write either, really. We used to. Like, I used to write reviews quite frequently, and now it's more, like, YouTube videos. Like, today, before I'm talking to you guys, I filmed and I'm editing, like, 4 or 5 YouTube videos.
Yeah, and you've been doing like a shit ton of content for Halloween as well, right? Can you give us a little bit of word there?
So for Halloween, we've taken on the Vlog-O-Ween challenge, where you make a video every day in the month of October and Spooky Month. And we've also been doing Pod Oween, where we have a mini podcast episode that comes out every day. And we did two screenings just this past weekend.
So, like, have you had time to, like, bathe and eat?
Bathing, yes, because my hair is really long, and if I don't wash it, then I end up looking like a bog witch. But the eating and sleeping has been in short supply.
Jordan, we should work harder.
Nah. So what's worse from like a content creator standpoint, Twitter or YouTube?
How do you mean, as in worse?
Just having to deal with people, whether it's trolling or people complaining, like is one better than the other? Just because YouTube comments all seem to be awful, whereas Twitter, it seems like you can kind of at least relegate yourself a little bit to, like, better people.
Yeah, so YouTube definitely is its own special kind of hell. Like, I mean, we don't even have that many subscribers. I think we're just kind of closing in on, like, 600 subscribers. And we don't get, like, some of our videos get a lot of views. Like, weirdly, the one I made about Arch Enemy still got, like, the stupid amount of views. But a lot of, like, the misspelled hate comments are pretty amusing to me. Like, some of them are so fucking funny. Honestly, like, I know, I guess, like, when I read hate comments, I'm kind of the wrong audience for them, because I think they're supposed to make me, like, sad and stuff and be like, no, I guess I won't make videos anymore because this guy thinks that I'm too fat. But it's just, it's so fucking funny to me. Like, some of them, I want to print them out and, like, just, like, make a wall in my house with them because they're just so dumb.
I don't have it in me to, like, put my face out there, like, at all, because I don't want to deal with, number one, some chud knowing what I look like and then, like, trying to start more shit with me than they already start. Also, I'm afraid that I'll say something stupid and then get fired.
Well, I mean, you have to, I kind of feel you on that, like, at first it's weird when you're filming yourself and then you're like, oh my god, like, my face looks really weird. And then you have to, it's not just filming yourself, you have to sit and edit your videos and try to make them funny or whatever, or you have to, you know, in my case, like, actually put on eyebrows and, you know, brush your hair. But yeah, as far as, like, you know, saying things that'll get you fired, like, just don't be an asshole.
we gotta go back to the drawing board, Jordan.
It's worked for us so far. I don't see why we need to change now.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So when did you start doing the radio show? That's like a broadcast thing, right?
Yeah, so that's on, like, the, like, community radio, which is kind of like public access radio.
That's right. I rarely listen to the radio because it's bad, but I do love, like, UT has an awesome student station. So, you know, it's great to have, like, you know, not DJs talking to you.
And, or, like, terrible advertisements for shit that you don't want, where it's just like, Sunday, come on down, get yourself a couch.
Yeah. I can't deal with, like, hearing, you know, a bunch of ads for car insurance followed by, like, well, here's Imagine Dragons. Fuck you.
Oh, my God. Just, ugh. Or, like, our local, like, rock station, man, sometimes they just, like, misidentify, like, famous rock bands, which I think that you should, like, know if you're a radio DJ on a rock station. Like, one of the radio DJs recently said that, or he thought that Velvet Underground was Velvet Revolver, and I almost fucking drove off the road.
No.
I was just like, I'll just kill myself right now. It's fine.
This is the Lou Reed classic Slither.
Oh boy.
That's a lot of fun. I don't think that, I don't know if Canada has dealt with the same kind of, like, radio market deregulation that the U.S. had, where basically, like, one guy in Ohio programs every station across the nation.
No, it's the same thing.
Oh, that's cool. I'm glad that we have hegemony across this hemisphere. That's tight.
Like, it's like one guy in BC that runs, like, all of the, like, news stations and, like, the radio stations and stuff. It's like Jim Pattison.
I don't know Jim Pattison, but fuck that guy.
All right.
It all went downhill after much music changed.
Yeah, agree. And, well, I mean, Ed the Sock is still around.
Wow, that's amazing.
He has Twitter, and I recommend you follow it because it's fucking great.
Explain Ed the Sock to Joe.
Is Ed the Sock related to Jack Flag?
No.
No, that's Krusty Sock, his cousin. Explain Ed the Sock for Joe.
Ed the Sock is like an angry, literal sock puppet commentator who was a VJ on Much Music, which was like Canada's answer to MTV. And now he has Twitter and is like, does politics. He came and like talked at City Hall in my town recently, and it was like a big event. It was like a big to do to go have like to see Ed the Sock. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up.
I'm just imagining like Syphil and Ollie like giving testimony in front of Congress.
That's pretty much what it was, with like a cigar that would fall out of his little sock mouth.
Yeah, he's got green hair. He's like the angriest sock. It's literally just a guy like holding up a sock puppet.
What is the sock's politics?
He's pretty lefty.
Okay.
He's a left sock.
he's a left sock for sure. I know he was roasting the conservative, the guy who was running for prime minister, the leader Andrew Scheer. He was roasting him on Twitter quite a bit.
That guy got owned, right?
Scheer. Well, the way that our election went was that Prime Minister Disney Prince lost his majority Liberal government, so he's now in a minority government. So in order to make any legislation, he has to work with one of the other parties.
So there is ostensibly, like, at least in name, other leftish parties, right?
Yes. So that would be like the NDP, led by Jagmeet Singh.
So he's probably not going to work with that guy, is he?
I'm honestly not sure. I know Trudeau was like, I'm not going to work in a coalition government. Meh. So we'll see what happens with what's going on in Canada. I don't know.
Well, this has been Hockey Night in Canada, and
I'm Don Cherry.
Jordan, have you been trolling the boards?
As always, I'm a little disappointed that like my Halloween season has gone by so quickly. Like probably just about everyone, I really enjoy this time of year, and I don't know if it's just being older or it being like unseasonably warm, but it's just like, oh wow, Halloween's this week, and it in a couple weeks it's going to be Thanksgiving and then Christmas, and what the hell happened to fall?
Did you get a costume?
You know, as much as I like Halloween, I haven't gotten dressed up or really done anything since college.
Really?
Do you have a costume for this year, Robin?
So we did two costumes for this year because we're extra. So for our Army of Darkness screening, myself and my partner, Scotty, we were Chucky and Tiffany.
Nice.
Just because last year at Target, they were selling pajamas that are, it was like a Chucky zip up. It's supposed to be like his overalls, I guess. So a friend of ours got them. They're like very weird pajamas. They like zip up to the face and they have like hair on them. So Scott just wore this like onesie basically. And I was Tiffany. And then for Rocky Horror Picture Show, our screening, obviously you gotta be in character. So Scott was Riff Raff sort of. And then I was Magenta.
I went as the person who saw it when he was way too young and was scarred for life.
Rocky Horror Picture Show scarred you for life.
I saw it when I was too young. I'm joking when I say scarred me for life, but I saw it when I was too young, and it has some adult themes in it that were very confusing.
Yes. Yes, I would agree.
I had never seen it until I went to a midnight screening when I was like 18, and I was number one. Like, if somebody asks you at like one of these screenings if this is your first time doing it, don't say yes.
Did they put a V on you?
Like they made me go up on stage, and then some guy started like making humping motions towards my ass.
Oh, we didn't have anything like that at our screening. We were asked if we were going to put V's on people and like do anything like that, but we didn't. We just threw confetti around and made a mess of the theater.
Yeah. So I have less than positive feelings about the whole thing. As someone that just is not too crazy about getting a lot of attention from a bunch of people, and then especially not like that kind of attention, it's not a good thing.
like that John Mulaney bit. Don't look at me or I'll kill myself.
Exactly. We did do our friend's blowout Halloween party this weekend. My lovely wife put together an amazing witch costume. And I wore this giant foam Easter Island head costume I bought in Japan.
Are there pictures of this? What's going on?
Yeah, I'll post some a little bit later. But I got to tell you, if you've never worn basically a giant foam box at a party, I highly recommend it, because you can just kind of like stand there and nobody really expects anything of you. Several times I was treated as an inanimate object by the people around me, and I was just like had my hands in my costume drinking beer. It's a good time.
Perfect. Yeah, those were our costumes. I don't know. I thought did your wife make a witch as in the general sense of a witch costume, or was it like the witch with the two V's, or like the vitch?
She loves that movie, but it was more of a general witch. She made an incredibly elaborate witch's hat that it was super rad. I'll send you pics after this. But yeah, she went to town at Hobby Lobby and really did some work.
Okay.
Did she buy any ancient artifacts stolen from Iraq?
So I have this thing when I go to Hobby Lobby is I like stealing stuff because they literally funded ISIS, so you don't even have to feel bad about it. It's okay. Plus, everybody that works at Hobby Lobby is a 75-year-old woman. They can't catch you. You're out the door.
Just walk briskly with like blocks and flowers sticking out of your shirt.
I did see a woman get busted for stealing the last time I was at Hobby Lobby. But this was something else. She had just loaded up her cart and walked straight out to her car, and then came back in and loaded up another cart.
She flew Jesus. Too close to the sun.
Yeah. You got to know your limits, guys.
Know your limit. Play within it. That's like what BC Lottery says. All right. That got weird.
Jordan, closing thoughts on this show.
I think we learned a lot, and we've all grown closer as friends, and I, you know, hope everyone has a very happy Halloween.
Be good. Watch some of the movies we've recommended on this series. Give good candy to the kids in your neighborhood. Don't be a dick. Don't give them, like, Smarties or some shit.
Pennies.
Yeah.
Don't give, like, toothbrushes.
Religious pamphlets.
Oh, if you give a kid a chick tract, you're going to hell. That's the rules. Robin, what do you think we ought to close the show with?
I think we should tell everyone to have a happy Halloweener, you nerds. And, you know, watch tons of movies, eat tons of candy. And if you're going to party safe and be excellent to each other.
That sounds good to me. We'll see you next week for a less spooky edition, probably. We'll see. Anyway, we all love you. Bye.
Okay, bye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.